Well, welcome to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin, and this is an exciting time for me because we're going to talk about something that I've hoped for a long time, and it got started last summer, and that is a cooperative venture between the wonderful professional resident dramatic group that we have in Chapel Hill, the Playmakers, and the other is the wonderful community-backed operation over at the Arts Center, which has all kinds of things going on. And these two groups got together last year and produced a fantastic production of Oliver. Only problem was we didn't get the word out quite enough so that there were a few people in Chapel Hill who didn't get to see it. But what it blended was well, I'll let my guests talk about it, but let me get off my chest first. It blended the wonderful resources of the Playmakers and the fine dramatic tradition with the enthusiasm and the vibrance of community and youth production. And the good news is we're going to do it again. We've got Tom Quaintrance back, who's many of us know from his direction of The Little Prince last year for the Playmakers, and also you did Oliver last year as well. Didn't you kind of on the fly? Is that right?
I did do Oliver last year and Little Prince as well, and we're bringing Little Prince back as well next year too.
That's right. Well, it you know, Tom looks like an ordinary person, but he is a well-respected person in the dramatic world across the nation.
I'm not sure how to take that. I look like an ordinary
person. Anyway,
I guess it's probably good.
Right? I mean, it is. I mean, you're a famous guy in the acting world and in the production world and in the directing world. This is what we've got in Chapel Hill with our community resources, is we've got a professional, somebody with high standard. Are you driving these kids crazy?
maybe a little bit, but I think that they appreciate the fact that I treat them like I treat the professionals, the Playmakers.
Well, also representing, you know, the wonderful...
And also, I do have to break in for just a second. It is Quaintance, not Quaintrance.
Quaintance.
Like acquaintance.
No, well, I told you to jump in immediately.
That's why I'm saying so.
Quaintance. Thank you, Tom. I apologize. Now, your partner in crime, representing the Arts Center, somebody that folks who listen to WCHL know as well, is our other guest, Jerry Lynn Schulke, who's the director of this Arts Conservancy. Tell us a little bit about it, Jerry Lynn.
Yeah, my program is the Youth Performing Arts Conservatory, and during the school year, we have acting classes for kids ages 6 to 18, and I was fortunate enough to fall into the position right when this collaboration began with Playmakers. And John Wilner, the executive director at the Arts Center, had talking with Joe Hodge prior to my coming on board about doing a summer collaboration. And Joe had come to the community and seen the wonderful offerings that our center has. He has a young daughter, and said, how can I bring my organization and what they do so well in collaboration with the Art Center, and what they do so well is, you know, providing opportunities for families and kids. So they came up with the Summer Youth Conservatory, and last year we did Oliver, and it was a fantastic, successful operation. All three of the actors here in the studio were in that production, and they can vouch for the fantastic, not only rehearsal process, but then the performance. Sold out three performances.
Yeah, we're saying that we didn't get the word out. If we'd gotten the word out,
it'd be
more.
We had people
standing in the lobbies with signs, you know.
Need tickets.
It was great.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
So there was an opportunity for scalpers then, maybe.
Yes.
Absolutely, yes.
Well,
nice.
Tom, what are you going to do next week, beginning on Thursday night at the Playmakers Theater?
Well, on the stage at the Paul Green Theater, we are presenting The Music Man. I'm very excited about it. We've got, I think, a great bunch of kids together, and a fantastic design team, and the professional staff behind the scenes is top-notch. So I'm thrilled at the work we've been doing so far. We've got a lot of work left to do in this last week and a half or so, but we go into tech on Thursday. I'm excited.
If you were sold out last year, it's kind of a Music Man is even more popular, maybe. The word's gotten out. It's going to be sold out, isn't it? I mean, you better go buy your tickets now.
It is selling very fast.
Beginning Thursday night and going through
Sunday.
Yeah, we added one performance anyway, so it was good.
Well, why The Music Man?
Well, I love the show, and that's, you know, top of the list. But it's actually the Summer Arts Conservatory. The big one of the big challenges is you've got to pick a piece that everybody is rehearsing all the time. So in a Summer Arts Conservatory, whether you're talking about Alex, who's playing Harold Hill, or the, you know, kid who's playing the tuba in the boys band, they both are in rehearsal all the time and are, we hope, given an equally valuable experience at the Summer Arts Conservatory. So can't pick a show that's got, it's sort of focused on these four leads, and then you've got a chorus that comes in twice and then you never see them again. So Music Man's a show where it's about building a town. You know, you've got this whole town of people that you can spend all sorts of time in rehearsal building the relationships and who the families, and so we never run out of things to do for everybody. It's a fantastic experience.
And how many people in the production?
40. Mm-hmm. 40 students plus we've got a small orchestra and some really hardworking tech crew kids as well. So I mean, all told, it's probably 50, mm-hmm. or closer mm-hmm. to 50 people. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing, is that you're looking at a range of ages from 9 to 18, so you want to pick a show that's got some opportunities for, you know, a kid like Winthrop in Music Man, things like that. So,
well, Jerry Lynn, what this does for the community, for me as the viewer, I love the playmakers and I love what they do. It's mm-hmm. professional always, mm-hmm. but when you start talking about doing a musical production in the confines of the rules and regulations and the availability of strong performers, economically, it just becomes difficult when you think about an orchestra and you think about all of the people who would be on stage.
Right.
And I don't want to say we're exploiting the kids in Chapel Hill. We're really giving them the opportunity to participate in that. Mm-hmm. But the blooming result is that those of us who love to go to the Playmakers Theater get a full-blown musical in a way that probably just wouldn't be economically possible if you followed the Playmakers' rules.
I wouldn't be surprised, though, if, you know, at some time in the future you're going to see a musical out there.
So.
I mean, I think it's something that the experience of, I mean, one of the problems is not so much, well, I won't speak to the economics of it. I'm a director, not a producer.
You don't have to worry about that stuff.
But I will say, as a director, that, you know, it's a big challenge to put a musical on that stage, because Music Man particularly, and sort of a lot of the big musicals from that era, you know, very much written for a proscenium stage with an orchestra pit and a theater that's really set up for a musical. Paul Green Theater is a fantastic space to work. I love it. This is my third show I've done there. It's a challenge to do a musical there. It's a challenge vocally, and where do you put the orchestra? And so in the last couple of years, we've had to really experiment with how we deal with filling that space, especially with young voices, and where do you put the orchestra and all those things. And I think it's something that we've learned a lot from these last couple of years, that you really can put on a great musical in that space.
Well, mm-hmm. that's great. Well, let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, I want you to tell us a little bit about the Music Man story for people who haven't heard it before, and then maybe you can incorporate the voices of some of your cast that you've recruited to come be with us here on WCHL.
I'd be delighted to.
We're talking about the Music Man, which is a joint production of the Playmakers and the Arts Center under a music conservancy we're doing this summer. We'll be right back after this short break. Welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. We're talking about maybe the most important, most fun thing that's going to happen in Chapel Hill, and that is a production of The Music Man, which will take place at the Playmakers Theater beginning next Thursday at 7 o'clock and continuing on through Sunday. Sunday's going to be a matinee, or Sunday's going to be a matinee at 2 o'clock? At 2 o'clock. And it's a joint production of the Playmakers and the Arts Center. And we recruited two people to come tell us about it. Jerry Lynn Schulke, who's the director of the Conservancy. And she's brought along the nationally known and famous Tom Quaintance, who has directed this production. You remember him from his direction of The Little Prince at Christmas time last time for the Playmakers. But I sense that what he's really excited about is working with the young people on The Music Man. So, Tom and Jerry Lynn, tell us a little bit about this production, what The Music Man is all about, and how you've incorporated Chapel Hill's young people into this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Music Man is a story about a con man who comes into a small town in Iowa and is looking to sell the citizens of River City band instruments, instruction books, and uniforms, and then take the first train out of town after he collects his money and leaves. And what Harold Hill does not expect is to run into a certain librarian that that he ends up catching his foot in the door, as he says. So it's about the sort of stubborn Iowa people and their good-hearted nature that he takes advantage of, and how that also changes him along with the town and Marion. And yeah, that's the sort of basic story of The Music Man.
What do you think you could persuade your actors to give us a sample?
You know, I think maybe we could twist our arm and do that. In this scene that we got coming up, Harold has just arrived in town and runs into an old pal of his, Marcellus Washburn, who used to run scams with Harold. And Harold is trying to figure out his angle of how he's going to sell this town his bill of goods.
Now give me the lowdown here, Marce.
You'll never get anywhere in the band business with these stubborn Iowans, Greg. Besides, we got a stuck-up music teacher here who will expose you before you get your grip unpacked.
Male or female?
The music teacher? She's the librarian. Female.
Perfect. That's what I wanted to hear. If she passes by, point her out to me.
I will. How are you going to start the pitch?
Oh, same old way. Keep that music teacher off balance. And then my next step will be to get your town out of the serious trouble it's in.
River City isn't in any trouble.
Then I'll have to create some. I have to create a desperate need for a boys' band, you remember. Now, what's new around here? What can I use?
Nothing. Except the billiard parlors just put in a new pool table.
They never had a pool table here before?
No. Only billiards.
Well, that'll do. Don't forget. Music teacher.
Music teacher.
You're Mr. Dunlop.
Yep.
Either you're closing your eyes to a situation you don't wish to acknowledge, or you are not aware of the caliber of disaster indicated by the presence of a pool table in your community. Well, you got trouble, my friend. Right here, I say trouble right here in River City. Why, sure, I'm a billiard player, certainly mighty proud. I say I'm always mighty proud to say it. I consider that the hours I spend with a cue in my hand are golden. Help you cultivate horse sense, and a cool head, and a keen eye. Did you ever take and try to give an ironclad leave to yourself from a three-rail billiard shot? But just as I say it takes judgment, brains, and maturity to score in a balk line game, I say that any boob can take and shove a ball in a pocket. And I call that sloth, the first big step on the road to the depths of Dagger Day. I say first, it's medicinal wine from a teaspoon, then beer from a bottle. And the next thing you know, your son is playing for money in a pinchback suit, and listening to some big out-of-town Jasper, hearing him tell about horse race gambling. Well, not a wholesome trotting race, no, but a race where they set down right on the horse. Like to see some stuck-up jockey boy setting on Dan Patch? Make your blood boil? Well, I should say. Now, friends, let me tell you what I mean. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 pockets on a table. Pockets that mark the difference between a gentleman and a bum. With a capital B, and that rhymes with P, and that stands for pool.
All right.
Well... Well, Tom, this is, we got some more rehearsing to do, but it's hard to think it could be any better than this.
I've got some notes. I've got a few notes. No, it's, they're in great shape, you know, and it's great. First day of rehearsal, we did a read through, and, Alex and Nora both, Nora who's playing Marion, who you'll hear from soon, came in and you know, the cast had just gotten their scripts, but Alex was off book before he knew trouble. So that was a great way to sort of spark the cast in. We're just reading the thing, reading through I Was Stubborn, and everyone's kind of stumbling along. And then Alex launches into that song, and just the energy in the room just popped up, and everyone was like, ooh, wow, we got some work to do. Harold already knows trouble. Let's go. And it was great.
Well, that's great. Tom and Jerilyn, I wonder if y'all would tell us a little bit or get your actors to tell a little bit about themselves and how they fit into this part.
I think that sounds a great idea for a lot to get these guys. You know, how did you guys get involved in the project? What do you guys think of it so far? Go.
Well, go right ahead.
Ladies first.
Ladies, oh, great.
And Nora, tell us who you are and where you go to school. And
I'm Nora Bergard. I play Marion, the librarian, in Music Man. I go to Chapel Hill High School, and I'm going to be in 10th grade next year. And I was actually in Oliver last year. I did a lot of stuff with the Arts Center, like their YPAC, Youth Performing Arts Conservatory. And I got this email from Jerry Lynn that said, hey, Playmakers is doing Oliver, come audition. And then I did. And it was just so much fun. And we got to work with professionals like Tom and Ernie Scarborough, who did the music last year, and stuff like that. And I loved it so much I auditioned for The Music Man again.
Is drama a professional aspiration, or is this just something that's going to enrich your life as a hobby? Do you have any idea about that?
I really like doing drama and musical theater and stuff. I think I really like to sing and act and dance. Sort of. So, I mean, maybe. I'm only 10th grade, so I don't really.
Well, what talk about the opportunities for community theater, for drama instruction, both at Chapel Hill High School and at the Arts Center that you've been able to participate in and that you might have available to you later on.
Okay. Well, at Chapel Hill High School this year, I was in the musical that they did, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, and that was all high school kids, so it was certainly a different experience, but the drama program at my school is really good, and I really enjoyed working with that so much. I try to get out of it.
Here, I'm gonna jump in here and say, thanks. Let me, you guys introduce yourselves as well, and so let's just make this more of a roundtable discussion, so you can jump in. So,
thank you.
Go ahead, Carl, why don't you say?
All right, I'm Carl Kupczynski. I play Marcellus Washburn. I go to Carrboro High, and I'm going into 10th grade. I've done a lot of stuff with the Arts Center. Same with Nora. I was in the Youth Performing Arts Conservatory. I was in Oliver, and it was fun.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Alex.
I'm Alex Daly. I'll be a freshman at UNC Chapel Hill next year. I, too, did Oliver last year. I do theater at my school. I did theater where I went to high school, and heard from a friend about Oliver, auditioned for Oliver, and now I'm here for this.
Well, I wish y'all would... Let me get from the actors first. What's the difference in the kind of dramatic experience that you're having in the summer production, which combines sort of the community and school instructional, the thing that you get from the Arts Center and school, with the professional? What's the experience like, Alec?
It's at the base level, it's the same thing that I love about theater, which is the trust that you put into other people and that they give back to you, and that energy and that community aspect that is always or almost always there with theater. But it's different here in that all we're doing is we're doing theater all day. You know, we go to rehearsal. We're not taking classes. We're not worried about homework. So all of our focus can be on this fantastic production that we're in. And it's with another group of people who are wonderful, people who you don't know as well, but that also creates a different atmosphere for the whole process, the rehearsal process, the creation process.
How about you, Nora?
What was the question?
Jerry Lynn.
I don't know. I speak for you guys, but I think from my point of view, seeing high school students acting and interacting with the younger kids, 9, 10, 11-year-olds in the cast, is, you know, they're both mentors. They're kids that the younger kids can look up to. Like Tom was speaking about Alex, you know, that first day of rehearsal, the younger kids can go, whoa, wow, look how prepared he is. And they can really learn from them. In addition to learning from the all the artistic staff that is working with the kids, they can also just vicariously learn from the older kids. And the older kids often go out of their way to mentor the younger kids. Like if somebody's having difficulty with a dance move, you know, an older kid will go, you know, don't worry about it. You'll get it. It's not a big, you know, issue right now. You'll get it. Just keep rehearsing and don't lose your cool and, you know, keep it together. So it's just a really great atmosphere that's provided for all ages of the cast.
Well. Well, I tell you what, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, Tom, you think you might be able to persuade this these representatives of the cast to do another scene for us?
I think perhaps.
happen. All right, we're talking about The Music Man. It's a production that will be on stage at the Playmakers Theater. That is the Paul Green Theater. beginning on Thursday at 7 o'clock and continuing on through until a matinee on Sunday at 2 o'clock. We'll be right back after this short break. Well, welcome back to Who's Talking. This is D.G. Martin. I'm talking to the cast, the director, the organizers of the production of The Music Man, which is taking place in Chapel Hill next week at the Paul Green Theater, where the Playmakers usually perform Thursday night beginning at 7 o'clock, and then Friday and Saturday at 7, and then on Sunday a matinee at 2 o'clock. And by the way, last year, this performance, the combined performance of Playmakers resources and the Art Center's resources, sold out. And people were standing in the aisle begging for tickets. So if we're giving you early warning. You can go to the website and buy the tickets or buy them at Playmakers box office, or can you get them at the Art Center too, or just at Playmakers. So go get your tickets. You
won't be disappointed. And tickets still available.
There's still, well, as we tape this, there's still tickets available. But better hurry. Tom Quaintance is the director. He's a professional. He's got, although there's a week to go, a little bit more than a week to go before the actual performance. Tom, it sounds like you're pretty well satisfied with the way things are going.
I'm very satisfied. It's we still do have a lot to do. It's a big show, and something that I didn't kind of anticipate, or it's it would have helped to read the script a little more, but is how much of the time we have this entire cast on stage. It's not just 15 or 20 people on stage, but 40 people on stage, and so these scenes are big, fun, exciting scenes that take a long time to stage. So it's we got a bunch of work to do, but we're very excited about where we are right now.
Well, can you give us a little sample of the story? Tell us a little bit of the story, and maybe get some of these guys to give us a little close to a performance rehearsal.
Sure. So we have trouble, where Harold convinces the town of the terrible trouble.
This con man's come in.
He's convinced the town they're in trouble. This horrible pool table that's going to send all their children off the deep end. And he then shows up later that night at a meeting, this 4th of July meeting, and manipulates the town into getting all riled up about the pool table, and steps in as the hero to offer them a solution, which we get the great 76 trombones scene where the whole town sort of gets excited about this thing. After that scene goes by and he's gotten the town riled up, he then is, his next job is to get the music teacher off balance. So he's going to work his magic to distract her. And in this scene we're about to hear, Harold is following Marion home. Actually, not home. He's following her to the library, and then wackiness ensues.
I don't suppose you live alone or anything.
No.
I've got some wonderful caramels over at the hotel if you...
Mr. Hill!
Please, Professor Hill.
Professor? Of what? At what college do they give a degree for annoying women on the street, like a Saturday night rowdy at a public dance hall?
Oh, I wouldn't know about that. I'm a conservatory man myself. Gary, Indiana, gold medal class of Art 5.
Even if that should happen to be true, does that give you the right to follow me around wherever I go? Another thing, Mr. Hill, I'm not as easily mesmerized or hoodwinked as some of the people in this town, and I think it only fair to warn you that I have a shelf full of reference books in my library, which may very well give me some interesting information about you.
Hey, Gregory!
Oh, hi, Marcellus, and don't call me Greg.
How'd you make out with the music teacher?
Scrumptious. Ate out of my hand the minute I tipped my hat.
She did? Boy, did you cut a swath tonight. For a minute, even I thought you knew something about leading a band. Just like when you used to imitate that band concert fellow back in Joplin?
Yeah, kid stuff. I'm in rare form these days, son. Just you keep your eyes on me for the next 4 weeks.
4 weeks? It only used to take 10 days for the instruments to arrive.
It still does, but it takes 4 weeks for the uniforms.
Oh no, Greg, you haven't added uniforms.
Uniforms and instruction books.
Instruction books? But you can't pass yourself off as a band professor. I mean, not for any 4 weeks.
Marsh.
But you don't know one note from another.
I have a revolutionary new method called the Think System, where you don't bother with notes.
But in 4 weeks, the people are going to want to hear some music. You'll have to lead a band.
But when the uniforms arrive, they forget everything else. At least, long enough for me to collect and leave. Oh, this is a refined operation, son. And I've got it timed right down to the last wave of the brakeman's hand on the last train out of town. And now, Mr. Washburn, if you'll excuse me.
Gonna line yourself up a little canoodling, huh?
Well.
Say, I could fix you up with Ethel's sister. Lovely girl. Teacher Sunday school.
No wide-eyed, eager, wholesome, innocent Sunday school teacher for me. That kind of girl spins webs no spider ever. Listen, boy. A girl who trades on all that purity merely wants to trade my independence for her security. The only affirmative she will file refers to marching down the aisle. No golden, glorious, gleaming, pristine goddess. No, sir. For no Diana do I play fawn. I can tell you that right now. I snarl. I hiss. How can ignorance be compared to bliss? I spark. I fizz. For the lady who knows what time it is. I cheer. I rave. For the virtue I'm too late to save. The sadder but wiser girl for me.
Yay!
Nice work.
All right, Tom, are you happy? Or are they making progress?
They are. They're making great progress.
These are part of the cast of the musical, The Music Man, which we have an opportunity to see in Chapel Hill next week, beginning Thursday at 7 o'clock and running on through Saturday at 7 o'clock, and then a matinee on Sunday at 2 o'clock. What you got to do between now and then, Tom?
Oh,
Tom Quintus is the director of this production.
The main thing we got coming up is Thursday night we start tech. So we add in all the lights and the moving scenery. And, you know, we have this one of the things about the show is we have the fantastic professionals of playmakers behind the scenes putting together really professional production. So, beyond the finishing staging the show and, you know, that those small details of that we'll take care of. The tech is a big part of it, you know. So, putting in the train and the coming up with the library, the table that comes up and folds out, and it's all very exciting. We get
Did
to get on stage.
Did you say train?
Well, okay. The train is a little theater magic where, you know, we basically, it's something where the idea of Meredith Willson when he was writing this musical, it's something we don't really think about. Because the musical is so popular, we don't really think about the fact that when this thing came out, it was revolutionary. It was a completely different kind of musical. And he started that with Rock Island, the first scene, that creates a train really through the voices of the actors. You know, it's his lyrics. And he even went so far as, for the first number in the show, there's no music. It's only rhythm and voices. And so, you know, then you get six benches and you get some lights and you create a train. So that's our train. And that's the beauty of the show.
We're going to think it's a train, but it won't be a real train.
Yeah, no, we're not going to, we don't actually lay tracks and have an actual train come out. It's actually a lot more fun than that, the way that we create this world. So tech is the big thing we've got coming up. And, you know, getting the costumes in. I mean, I can't say enough about the professionals that are behind the scenes here. They're fantastic.
Well, one of the things that I was curious about, Tom, is the sort of the numbers about this. This play was first produced about 50 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it was set in time about 50 years before that.
Yep.
So, and now some of us have got to see and hear about and hear the disc jockeys play the songs from this production 50 years ago, looking back 50 years. But now you're dealing with a cast members who don't, you know, who certainly aren't in touch with 100 years ago and are hardly in touch with 50 years ago. They're in touch with what's going on today. Do you have to, I mean, is your perspective as you direct it modifying the piece or
you know,
taking,
it,
how does
it's
it
really,
work?
I mean, it's the, I mean, one of the great things about the whole conservatory setup is that, you know, it combines the rehearsal. We're not just staging the play. You know, we have Kathy Williams is running a room that where they spend a ton of time with extensive period research. So so a lot of it is about this kind of digging up the history of our country, and it's very exciting in that way of not just and the history of both what it was like in 1912, but also what it was like in terms of when the production first came out, the context that it was written. So we are excavating this American history, and it's one of the great things is watching these kids get to know the past that they are connected to. So,
well, let's talk. I wonder if we can get them to talk a little bit about that. Nora, you didn't like the surprise questions that I threw at you earlier, but it's, you know, here I am, somebody who was around. I was about your age when the original production came out. And so I'm thinking of it in that context and wondering, you know, it was a little bit funny. It was made for my time, but it did look back into the, you know, the early 1900s. And so we were taking a 1950s look at 1900. Now you're trying to take a 2008 look back. And you're playing the librarian, the heroine of this play. Is it really difficult to go back that far in time and kind of act like you were living then?
Well, the first day of rehearsals, I can't even remember who said it, but somebody asked us, who here has an iPod, has a cell phone, is probably wearing plastic right now, has a computer? We were all like, yeah, we have it. And they were like, no, you have to pretend like you don't have that for the next, like, 5 weeks. And we were just like, ah! So, it's, I guess it's not as hard as it sounds, but I think it's a lot of fun because I've always liked that sort of ragtime-ish period where everyone thought, oh, ragtime. And it's so interesting being a part of that whole.
Do you really feel like you've taken yourself back in time? Is that part
yes,
of the, part of the
that
deal?
That is part of the reasons I love this play so much, because it's so fantastic to
well,
be.
What in your. How's this affect your family? Do they think that you're a different person too, as well?
I've started saying words like swell.
I'm sure that breaks their heart. But, and that was Anthony Fischera, our fantastic dramaturg, who came
Thank
in and
you.
Gave a fantastic talk the first day about life back in 1912 and put together a packet for all of the actors. It's great.
Thank you.
Well, Alex, how about you? Now, you're already going, I mean, you're going through one of the biggest transformations in your life, going from high school to college and all of this, but what about the transformation back into a con man of the early 1900s?
Well, there are two difficulties for me there. One, I wasn't around during the 1900s, I'm also not much of a con man, so those are two pretty drastic changes for me, it helps. One of the things that really helps going back in time is when we get into tech and we get on the stage, which we just started rehearsing in yesterday in the space, and we get into costume and makeup and everything. You know, just being in costume really helps you get your mind right, because they're fabulous costumes, and the set pieces are all fantastic. So that's one thing that helps. But you know, for me, it's really trying to become this kind of sleazy, cunning, you know, cutthroat guy.
But lovable.
There's a balance.
But rogue nonetheless. No, yeah. It's one of the things that Alex is, he's too nice for his own good when it comes to this play. We're looking for ways to sharpen him up.
Carl, how about you? Is this being in this play so far had an impact on the way you are living your life in 2008?
Well, I suppose it'd be good if I said yes.
No, just say no.
I mean, I'd be getting into character, but I don't know. I think that it definitely made me think a lot more about what life was like back then. We've had some great study guides and lots of information that has helped us, you know, sort of
well,
fit that
just,
time.
Let me ask you this, Carl. In terms of your figuring out how to be this character, do you? I mean, Do you model on a friend, or do you model on somebody who is like that character? Are you modeling on what they told you about the way it was 100 years ago? How are you getting into character?
I sort of look at all the lines collectively and just kind of try to figure out why he's saying those things. But the script does give me information. Like, he worked with Harold Hill, but now he's a river citizen.
And so, what is that?
So, oh, that's one of the lines from the show.
Yeah, but what is that?
It's
the residents of River City.
Yeah, it's a mayor. You know, he messes up a lot, and so...
Well, the other difference, y'all, I'm leading y'all down pathways maybe where you don't want to go, but the other thing is that you guys live in Chapel Hill, and this is Iowa. It's a different part of the world.
Yeah.
I mean, and what about regional differences? Do you feel uncomfortable being a Midwesterner?
Well, there's definitely an Iowa stubbornness that comes along with it. As it says in the play, I don't have anything against Iowa people. Iowans.
Well, I've driven these wonderful cast members from Chapel Hill into distraction. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a break and gather ourselves together. We're going to come back and then talk some more about the great production in Chapel Hill, combined production of the Playmakers and the Arts Center of The Music Man, beginning Thursday at 8 o'clock at the Paul Green Theater. On for three nights and then for a Sunday matinee at 2. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Who's Talking. My guests are Tom Quaintance and Terry Lynn Schulke, who have together put together a wonderful collaboration between the Art Center, which Sherry Lynn represents, and the Playmakers, represented by Tom. Tom's a visiting director at the Playmakers, did The Little Prince last Christmas, and is going to do it again this Christmas. But together they're working on preparing for a production of The Music Man, which we'll enjoy in Chapel Hill next week. And thanks for bringing your wonderful local actors. But let's talk, for those people who for 50 years have missed about The Music Man, what's so great about The Music Man?
What's not great about The Music Man? It's the combination of really exceptionally clever lyrics and a fantastic love story in the middle of it all. You've got these great show-stopping numbers that actually have it's they're not vacuous. This is not a show that does not have it's not a piece of fluff, right? And a lot of musicals that were from the time are great, but they're kind of forgettable in terms of it being something that you go and you have a good time, but it's only about the sort of entertainment. And Music Man's something that both has an incredibly entertaining center, but also has interesting characters. You've got a little darkness behind these characters. You've got Harold Hill, who is a con man and somebody who's looking to fleece this town out of all the money. But he's also a guy you've got to root for and like enough so that when he makes his turn, you're cheering for that. You know, so it is something that... And the other thing, I think one of the reasons why it has stayed so popular is that it really was a groundbreaking musical when it came out. And it remains, I think...
What was different about it from
you had
other musicals?
Meredith Willson, there's a line in the first song. Charlie Cowell keeps talking about he doesn't know the territory. You know, he's talking about the new salesman, Harold Hill, being somebody who doesn't know the territory. And he shouldn't be succeeding, but he is. Meredith Willson's memoir of writing this script is called "He Doesn't Know the Territory." And he was a guy who didn't come out of musical theater. He was a music guy. I mean, actually, literally played for he played in the John Philip Sousa band, and was a writer, radio personality, and wrote this musical. It was his first musical that he wrote. And was really looking at changing the form, making something where the lyrics, the text, was just as important. There was a transition between the transition transition from book to song was kind of seamless. And that the both the book, the just the dialogue had a rhythm behind it, just like the lyrics did, and the lyrics had a meaning behind it like the text did. So he it wasn't something where you just break into this kind of fluff song that was
it wasn't
just
like
fun.
Shuffling, it was all integrated.
Yeah, it was all integrated.
Well, listen, I wish we could talk forever. We're almost out of time. And Jay Lynn, I wanted you to say, if you just would, in a word about why you're excited about this production for your, I don't want to call them your kids, but mm-hmm. for the people who've been part of the Conservancy. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think even beyond Oliver last year, this is an even more demanding musical in terms of it's a larger cast on stage for majority of the time. A larger dance numbers. It's just more challenging, I think, in a lot of respects. So I think the bar has been raised even a little bit more from last year, which is great. You know, these kids are challenged and they rise to that challenge. So I think that would be it.
Well, this is great. I'm so excited about the play and the musical, and having seen your lead actors and actresses to perform for us makes me want to go even more time. Thanks again for visiting with us, and thanks to all of you. We can't wait to see you on stage at the Paul Green Theater Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7 o'clock, and then Sunday at 2 p.m. All that next week, the week of July 24th through 27th. Thanks again. Thanks to all y'all.
Thanks, DJ. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks, y'all, for listening. We'll be back same time tomorrow.